Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Wait, I'm sorry. That was the...
That was recording. The other recording. Okay.
Perfect. All right. Madam Chair, we are recording on broadcast and the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Lloyd. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Cambria Community Services District Special Meeting, Friday, September 24th. I would ask you please to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Osana, may we have the flag, please? Thank you. Will you join me in the pledge? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, Osana. And in establishing quorums, we have all five board members here and present. And Mr. Niffen, I believe we have all of the PROS committee members, with the exception of maybe Mr. Barringer, who I believe is out of country right now. Thank you, sir. All right. The next item on the agenda is public comment on agenda items. Actually, what I'll be doing is calling for the public comment before each of the regular business items. So we'll see that represented that way. The one thing that I would like to state and pass on to everyone, including the public, is that the discussion of any current PROS projects is not part of these agenda items. We will not be taking public comment related to the skate park or to these ranch bathroom initiatives. This is a conversation about communication methods and efforts between the board and the PROS commission. So with that, I would move on, please. And for the regular business items first, the item 3A, and Mr. Weigold, will you introduce this, please?
Yes, President Steidel. Agenda item 3A is discussion, recommendations, and considerations regarding relationship and communication between CCSD board and the PROS commission. Staff recommends that the board have a discussion for recommendations and considerations regarding the relationship and communication between the CCSD and the PROS commission. This special meeting affords the board and the commission the opportunity to interact, reach a mutual understanding of communication needs and address items that seem to be focused on process and expectations. To facilitate the discussion, staff has added two attachments. The first is the PROS Commission bylaws and guidelines, which outline a little bit of some of the statement of purpose and authority and statement of responsibilities. And then we've also added the municipal code section 7.08.010, which is the PROS Commission municipal code, or the code that's relevant to the PROS commission. And with that, I'll turn it back over to you, President Steidel.
Thank you, GM Weigold. So the intent for this combined meeting of PROS and the board of directors really is encapsulated in the agenda item that was put forward: discussion, recommendations, and considerations regarding the relationship and communications between the board and the PROS commission. So before starting, I'd like to acknowledge that the requirements of the PROS commission and the district both have become much more complex and complicated over time. And there are many reasons for that, which are not part of our conversation today. But when things become more complex, the need for communication becomes paramount. So a consistent method for communication increases in importance because you can't effectively communicate your important decisions across an organization unless it takes a written form. And the purpose of today's meeting and discussion is to establish a baseline of a common working knowledge and the frame of reference in our communications. So to begin the morning's conversation, to move forward in establishing some of those useful communications and processes between the two, the board and PROS, we should probably take a moment to understand the wider view of what defines our interactions. And that is broadly defined and established in two ways: legislative authorities with the special district and the financial structure of the district's general fund. And I've asked Mr. Carmel to assist us in defining the first for all of us and Ms. Duffield the second. And after hearing each, I'd like to open the floor for any questions or clarifications by the PROS commissioners, and then come back to the board for any questions and discussion. And with that in mind, Mr. Carmel, please, could you provide us with the outline of, or the information which I had outlined? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam President. I'll be brief. Simply put, within the framework of a community services district, the board of directors has the sole and exclusive authority for legislating, that is, enacting laws and regulations, as well as other matters regarding setting district policy, approving budgets, contracts, and authorizing most significant expenditures. The PROS Commission and all the standing committees are only legislative bodies for purposes of the Brown Act. The commission has no legislative authority. The CCSD Municipal Code is very clear that the PROS Commission is only an advisory body. Section 7.08.010 provides that the commission will advise the board on parks, recreation, and open space matters. So the sole articulated purpose and role of the PROS Commission in the district's legislative process is to provide sound advice and recommendations to the board of directors. There are some misleading provisions in the PROS bylaws, such as responsibilities. A, create an annual budget in consultation with the general manager and Parks and Recreation Department staff and manage expenditures according to established spending authority. As you know, the PROS Commission has no spending authority. So for purposes of that bylaw, the commission's role in creating a budget is to make clear recommendations to the board and general manager. The same is true regarding managing expenditures, since the general manager is responsible for carrying out the board's adopted budget and managing it. The commission is a purely advisory body that advises and makes recommendations to the board of directors on parks, recreation, and open space matters. It is a very important role for the district, but it has no legislative component. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Carmel. I'd like to open up the opportunity, please, for the PROS commissioners to ask any questions of Mr. Carmel or any clarifications to the information that he just provided to us. You can do that, please, by indicating with a raised hand that you have a question, and you will be acknowledged, and you can unmute yourself and ask the question of clarification or offer discussion. So are there any from the PROS Commission that have any questions or considerations? I'm not seeing any at this time. Mr. Niffen.
So would you recommend that we remove that provision from our bylaws?
I think that I think the bylaws need to be reviewed in that context, yes. And I do think that there are some changes that need to happen to align to the information that Mr. Carmel made for us. And we can have a discussion on whether that's easier done by the PROS Commission and then sending it through to the board, or the board making suggestions and relaying that back to the commission to have them take a look at it in terms of what the board's opinions were. So we can work through that later, but yes. Mr. Johansson, you'll need to unmute, please.
Just the clarification of what is the difference between PROS Commission members and the general public. And it alludes to, there really is no difference between pros and the general public. Is there a need for the PROS Commission?
Well, Mr. Carmel, if you could address the portion of it that talks to the difference between the public, although all of the commissioners are members of the public, they still have been approved for assignment to a specific role within the CCSD that is advisory, but is different than just the public membership. Mr. Carmel, is there anything additionally that can be added to that?
Well, yeah, there is a need for the PROS Commission. It's a pretty critical need. Mm-hmm. Your job is to collect information, to engage with the public, and to provide good, sound advice on recreation parks issues to the board. And it's a committee that's been duly organized and created by the board of directors for that sole purpose. That's not the public's role. It's the PROS Commission's role. So I look at the role of the PROS Commission as a pretty significant one in terms of parks, recreation, and open space.
Well, the reason I asked that question is because of the plan that was generated, I think, in 94, that of course most of us didn't read till last meeting for me, but that's a widespread and very far reaching document. And the real question is, if that's it, we sort of go from meeting to meeting, pressing the needs of the year as we go. That one looks at the overall community from a long range point of view. Frankly, that's a lot of time investment. And I guess the question is that if that plan sat quietly festering for all these years with no change, then it either wasn't of value or we're doing something wrong in the present operation. But there seems to be no incentive to move forward because, frankly, the CCSD is set up in the same way then as it is now. And the Parks and Recreation Department really isn't funded for most of the duties that would be entailed in that plan. In fact, if you looked at the plan, it calls for almost a separate Parks and Recreation Department, which you don't have. And so I guess the question is, if it's just a good idea, why don't we just put the plan, leave the plan and take the people away and put it into the general public? Somehow it's the PROS seems to be a non-elemental, just a commission floating gently out in the wind, giving some advice once in a while, but never really changing anything. So I'm a little frustrated at that. So I guess the question is, when do the Parks and Recreation Department sort of grow into something that is a tangible department other than just maintenance, an offshoot of the maintenance that you have on the PROS? And that's how does the PROS push that into existence if we see that's almost our major goal? The end of sentence statement.
Okay, there are several items which you outlined there, Mr. Hansen. The idea that it would PROS would become a department within CCSD probably is not part of our conversation here. The idea of the PROS master plan of 1994, I think everyone who has seen it has some contribution to whether or not it's something that's still valid or something that needs to be looked at. And that was one of the reasons to establish at least an introductory amount of money into taking a look at what needs to be done with that as far as a budget item. So the board approved budget had established an entry point to take a look at that 1994 plan. The reality is that being 1994, we're talking about 25 years ago, and the formulation of the district, while in its outline is the same, I think the actions and activities of it have changed significantly. And the reality is too that as you move through the different construct of boards over years, they change. So what gets focused on can shift from several year periods. And when you're talking decades, that is just compounded. So at the crux of it, probably part of the conversation that the directors need to have is that focus towards the master plan to get something more realistic and definitive, or to understand if there's some specific action from anything from an ad hoc committee at the board level to initiate looking at it, or some other action that the board members might recommend. And we can do that as part of our conversation. We could actually bring that back as an agenda item to the board for open conversation. So there is no resolution to that question for you right now. I think we do need to take certain steps to make things more effective and more productive. And I think the starting point in some things that we can do immediately are to define how we exchange information and communication, and the larger items to address are what actions the board has a responsibility for, and take a look at that 1994 plan. And having spent a lot of time talking through that, I'll ask if there is there any other feedback that or contributions that any other director would like to make. Vice President Howell.
Thank you. This is more just for informational. If Mr. Carmel could perhaps enlighten us a little bit regarding the 1, 2, 3, fourth paragraph of the code referring to ex officio members of the commission. Could Mr. Carmel comment on that?
Oh, Mr. Carmel, you're muted.
Sorry about that. I just read the provision, and I'm going to read it again because it sort of speaks for itself. Ex officio members of the commission are representatives from significant constituencies served by the Parks and Recreation Department, which doesn't exist, and may be appointed to serve as non-voting members of the commission as set forth by resolution of the board of directors. And my comment is, I've actually never seen a representative from a significant constituency appointed as an ex officio member by the board of directors since I've been here, but it's available. And again, I can think of currently some significant constituencies for which that may have application. I'm sure you can too.
Yes. I'm sorry, Madam President, may I follow up on that a little
Please.
Bit? So if that being the case, then such an ex officio member, how would the Brown Act affect that member who cannot vote?
They would still be required to comply with the Brown Act. As a member of the committee.
How about in terms of establishing a quorum?
No.
Okay. So to summarize, an ex officio member does not affect the quorum of the committee, but would be subject to whatever other limitations of the Brown Act might apply.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Okay. And Mr. Carmel, another clarification, who would be responsible for appointing ex officio members of a commission? Is that the right of the committee, or is that something that the board has to approve?
The board has to approve it, but it could certainly come from the commission could suggest an appointee, or the board could suggest an appointee. You both have the power to do that, but it has to be perfected by resolution of the board of directors.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Mr. Niffen.
Is not the Friends of the Fiscalini Ranch ex officio members of the PROS Commission?
Yes.
Right, so we have done that in the past. And at one time, the school district, we had them as ex officio members because we were working on that Prop 68 grant for that thing up at the grammar or at the junior high. Is that correct? Joyce, is that my recollection? Yeah. So our commission has appointed ex officio members at one time. Is that correct?
Of whom are you asking?
I guess Joyce, because I want to make sure my memory is correct.
All right, Joyce, you're muted.
I'm not sure that we actually appointed them. It may have come from CCSD. It was before my time. They just were always on the board when I became a member. So I'm not sure who appointed them, Steve.
Nonetheless, you're saying that we have the power to appoint an ex officio member then? With approval from you guys, yeah. Okay.
You have the power to recommend that the board designate them as ex officio.
Any other questions or discussion from either the PROS commissioners or the directors? Okay. All right, Mr. Carmel, thank you very much for the information you provided to us. And I'd like to move on then, please, to a presentation by Ms. Duffield. Fit together and where any of the monies considered for PROS projects are derived. So, and I'm sorry, Director Farmer, I just saw your hand before we move on.
It's not a problem. I just would like to ask a very simple question. What is it that has happened in the recent past that has prompted the discussion that's taking place today with regard to the relationship between PROS and the Board of Directors?
Well, I think I'll answer to the extent that I considered that is that there have been several situations where in conversation without documentation, questions have been asked about what kinds of things have to be brought to the board before they can address them formally or take action on them. And the discussions sometimes haven't resulted in what the needs were. So I think it was a matter of, because there were just individuals involved in conversations and those individuals weren't necessarily part of the commissioners either, that there was a need to provide information in conversation with the board and the commissioners and have that information be available to the public as well. So that was the intent today. Does that answer the question?
Maybe my mind just isn't computing what's happening here, but does this have anything to do at all with participation by the public in one fashion or another at PROS meetings or even board of directors meetings where we're addressing PROS issues? Has that contributed to this at all?
Well, no, because the public has the opportunity for any kind of public conversation in either of those venues, so no.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Johansson, do you have another question?
Yes, not a question, but a comment. And part of the, Mr. Farmer brought up the fact that what is the emphasis, part of it is, or continued on the pros, continued worry about maintenance, long-term maintenance, all the lots that we're gathering up. When does this, there is no funding for Parks and Recreation, understanding your budget, and because it doesn't exist. It's a maintenance issue, and the maintenance people allocate, you know, get some money. They do various things, but basically they're just scooting along on a low profile, doing most of the work themselves to be able to fund it. There's no Parks and Recreation budget. When we start looking at hard facilities like more toilets, skate park and so forth, we could keep looking at how far does this stretch, and work on the ranch and so forth. Everything's kind of stretching. It's going to a point where you're going to have to address the budget of a Parks and Recreation Department, because they aren't another spigot that you could keep stealing money from in the maintenance field.
That assumes that there's a Park and Recreations Department. There is not. We have a facilities organization, and facilities is the one who is in interface and addresses things and takes care of things like that aren't funded, like the homeless camp communities that were here, that was handled. The support for any recreation facilities is part of the conversation that has to happen about whether or not it's practical to take on something. And that's a true statement also. And there have been conversations that where I verbalize the need to the need for having a maintenance cost built into the idea of what can be supported for a project like the skate park. And highlighted the fact that additional cost is not something that the board is in a position to be able to take on. So I've had conversations with members of the public, and I've had conversations with the pros chair in that regard and made them aware of it. So what it talks to is a nonprofit organization that establishes, takes on the responsibility for establishing that kind of support activity for something like the skate park. And that conversation's taken place also, and people have heard that. I verbalized that. Mr. Cooper, you hadn't spoken yet, sir. What?
Good morning, everybody. The reason why I got on PROS was I care about kids. I haven't heard anything about that this morning. I don't know that I saw any of you at the football game last night. By the way, did you know that we won 88-20, our football team?
Our last three games have been phenomenal.
So what I'm saying is Parks and Recs is about kids, not about master plans. Master plans are the kinds of things that I used to have to do when I was a teacher. You know, we'd study stuff to death, and then it'd be put on a shelf, and then, you know, it would take us away from our task, which was to teach kids. And I don't hear anything about the kids this morning. I don't hear anything about that. And my feeling is, in terms of communication, there's a lot of talk. And my dad used to say, yeah, you can talk, but actions speak louder than words.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. We haven't been talking about the kids today because the agenda item is specific in terms of the communication between pros. And I apologize if you find that frustrating, but that's the structure of how we have to operate, because we are a legislative authority. Mr. Johansson?
Yes, also in the 94 plan, they examine all the recreation facilities.
Shamel Park really is one of our major city parks. It's managed by the county, and it kind of works pretty well. But again, the concept, if you do a plan, one of the things you might want to, you have to look at all the available land you have. One is the ranch, the other is Shamel Park. And you know, we don't interface with the county in any way, although they are a major park presence in the Parks and Rec, in the Parks and Recreation in Cambria. We really don't have an interface with the county. They take the money and then they sort of parcel it out and we do their bidding. They're a bigger presence than actually the CCSD in most cases of what we can do and where we're going to spend money.
Mm-hmm. So we have a land use authority.
Yes. So we really don't, we only do a few small things in the PROS Commission. And the plan, that if we were actually to work out a plan, we'd have to sort of take a piece of the county and say, you know, we're going to do this ourselves, or we're going to manage this, or we're going to, you know, we don't really want to do what you want us to do all the time. So the question is, when do we get to sit in this with the county? When does the board ever sit with the county other than just go up and send us up and ask permission to do a park or a change or something like this? CCSD, we're sort of on the edges of when do we become incorporated and when we do not, but why aren't we getting better cooperation with the county?
Yeah, we're not going to get into that discussion in this agenda. Introducing it is unfortunate, but it just complicates it and it creates reactions. So I appreciate what you're saying, Mr. Johansson, but the county has land use authority, and as land use authority, we have to go to them. We have things that we want to do and ask them within that land use authority, how can we, what actions can we take, and what things do we need to fulfill to be able to move forward? So that it's a construct. We're not going to break off a part of the county to be able to take on a responsibility. We need to keep the focus on to what it is we can accomplish and what parameters we have to operate within. Some of the questions that were coming forward had to do with some of the financial exchanges. So Ms. Duffield, for those of you who may not know Ms. Duffield, she's our financial manager here at the district and reports directly to the general manager. So Ms. Duffield, can you please provide us with some information about the way in which the financial linkages happen here?
Sure. Thank you, President Steidel. So I'm going to screen share, or Asana's going to screen share. We have a little visual for everyone.
Here we go.
There we go. Okay, so hopefully everybody can see this.
Yes.
So can you, let's see, we can't, there we go. We see the top of the screen now. So this is basically the financial structure of the CCSD. We have these main funds or components of the budget, if you will. We have the general fund, the Water Enterprise Fund, and the Wastewater Enterprise Fund. The PROS is funded through the General Fund. So I just wanted to lead you through a little bit of information about how the General Fund is structured. So the revenues that we have access to in the General Fund are related to property taxes, special assessments, which that's mostly related to the fire department, franchise fees that come in through the trash hauling service, and then rental fees in the vets hall. The departments that utilize these revenues in the general fund are the fire department, facilities and resources, the PROS, and administration. And the kinds of expenses that are offset by these revenues are salaries and benefits for all of those departments listed above, Anytime we purchase any vehicles or equipment, which includes, you know, all the items that the fire department and facilities and resources require to do their jobs. We have several buildings that we're responsible to maintain, the fire department, the different facilities that we own, and the vets hall. An item that really is critical in the facilities and resources budget is to budget for the ranch and the maintenance of the ranch, the dog park maintenance, the maintenance of open space lots, the public restrooms, the two that are in town, and then all the street lights that the district is responsible to maintain that the county does not maintain. So this is just kind of a quick overview of the general fund, how the revenues come in, and how those revenues are utilized. Anything over and above these revenues that come in, the expenses that we endure. So for instance, in constructing a capital project, there's a few that are on the hopper, the restroom and the skate park. Those could not be funded through our existing revenue stream. They would have to be funded through grants or the general fund reserves. So hopefully that helps everybody have a better idea of how the district is structured and how budget may be allotted to the parks, recs, and open space programs. So I'd be happy to answer any more detailed questions that you might have.
Thank you very much, Ms. Duffield. And I will clarify something for everyone before it's brought to my attention that there's a reference that PROS is referred to here as department. And the reason for that is that it is in essence a department in terms of budgetary processes, but in terms of the definition of a department with certain authorities, it doesn't exist within the CCSD structure in that way. So that's why it's referred to in that way in this specific context. Mr. Johnson.
Yes, just do the special assessments, can that be used to pay for maintenance?
So now the special assessments that are listed here are specific to the fire department. That is the fuel benefit assessment that you see on your property tax bill. And that's specific to the fire department.
Okay, can that be used? Could a special assessment for recreation, parks and recreation be made there and added?
Sorry, would you like to answer?
No, go right ahead.
Okay. So that would have to be based on voter approval. If the district were to develop or request a new special assessment be established, that does have to go to all the property owners and it has to be voted upon in order to do something like that.
The special assessment reflects itself as an addition to property tax bills. So it has to go through a formal process. Are there any other questions that anyone has relative to this? And I am not able to display the entire There we go. Thank you. All right. So are there any other questions from Vice President Howell?
Thank you. This is more of an observation. In regard to the special assessment discussion, there's nothing, of course, to prevent the PROS from recommending to the CCSD board that a special assessment be proposed to the public. or the other way of phrasing this is, if the public is interested in having more maintenance and more open space and whatever other improvements to our parks, recreations, and open space, then it would seem logical the public would lobby the PROS Commission. The PROS Commission would then propose a benefit assessment, which would then go before the public as a 218 process. That's certainly an option, and that's something that I would, in fact, encourage PROS to get engaged with, if that's something they feel is important.
Director Gray.
Yeah, hi. Thank you, President Steidel. Question for Ms. Duffield, primarily. The PROS Commission has a budget of about $50,000, and certain items that are in the budget for being spent. And of course, this time around, the update of the master plan is in the budget. And basically taking off from Mr. Carmel's observations earlier on, I get the impression is rather ambiguous as to what the PROS Commission's responsibility for, say, managing that budget is. In other words, are they in charge? Do they have some responsibility for managing the, say, the update? Or is that, you know, in other words, the putting out the contract and defining the job and everything like that? Or is that really strictly the general manager's responsibility? Because I think there's been some ambiguity in the past about what they actually can do and have the authority to do.
So you have to keep in mind that the commission, PROS Commission, is just like any other standing committee that the district has. They're strictly advisory, so they cannot contract on behalf of the district. They can request the general manager to do such, but they do not have the authority to contract. Yeah. So like the skate park is a good example. When we did the design for the skate park and the design contracts for the public restroom, that information was brought forward to the general manager, and he worked with PROS to select the plan and everything that came to the board for recommendation. But the district has to enter into those agreements, not the PROS Commission. They don't have the authority to do that.
Yeah. And I have one further. It's more of a history question, but it's recent history. On the decision, the action taken to demolish the old skate park, I know that was discussed for a long time at PROS, and then it happened. A decision was made, or a recommendation was made, to by PROS to demo the old skate park. Did that ever get voted on by the CCSD board?
Yes, it was a board action, and at that time, my recollection is that the board directed the existing budget, gosh, when was that? I think it was two fiscal years ago. The board directed the existing budget that was sitting in the PROS budget for whatever that study was. We usually have around $20,000 to $25,000 for a study every year for PROS budget. Mm-hmm. They directed that funding to be utilized to remove all the hazard material and the bad wood and put up fencing and things like that for the skate park.
That was for repairs. I think I noticed that, but I wonder if the decision to the demolition decision was actually done independently by the board, or was it done by PROS under that, as you say, that rubric of maintenance money they had?
I believe it was a board decision. We could look back and find that action.
I believe that Carlos was involved in gathering the information on that and getting the definition of its being unsafe, because there was information that went back and forth at the time to evaluate it for repair. Mm-hmm. And that happened. And then there was the recognition of it being unsafe, that it could not be repaired. And at that point, the only thing to do was to proceed further with demolition. And that went through the usual resources. And Mr. Cooper, I see your hand, but I had two others that were ahead of you, sir. So I'll be calling on them first. Director Dean, your hand's been up for quite a while.
I want to go back to the idea of the special benefit assessment for PROs. If it's going on the property taxes, it's not a Prop 218 process, isn't it? Doesn't it have to go on the ballot itself? And I think that's a very good idea, a good way of getting more money for parks, recreation, and open space. So hopefully the public will approach PROs for it, and PROs can approach us for it. But it has to go on the general election budget. Is that the way it goes? Or do we have a special election? I don't know how that works.
I think, yeah, part of it is having been involved in it before with something in terms of the Marine Terrace being paved. It is a process of checking with people to see whether they're willing to take on something if it was in a smaller group. So I don't know if that would be something we would have to do as a community as a whole first, and then going to the county, and then the county being able to schedule it. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't fall easily within election periods, then it becomes a special election, and then it's voted on.
Okay, and one more question, if I may. We talked, someone mentioned, I can't remember who is speaking now, that the PROs Commission is just like a standing committee, and in that it's an advisory committee. But while it's an advisory committee, it's the only one that has a budget, and it's the only one that does not have a director as an ex officio on the committee. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
So to that extent, I agree. PROs is somewhat of a hybrid.
Okay.
And I think that the conversation about that, to understand what that means, is probably an agenda item that needs to come back to the board for conversation. I think that part of the history and things that have gotten us where we are now is the fact that we, over time in the last couple of years, have established these advisory committees to the board, and they've worked through their maturity of process and their interactions with the board. And it's unfortunately the PROs, because of its length of existence, has become a hybrid advisory committee.
And one more question, if I may.
Yes.
Okay, the fact that there is not a board member on that committee means there's not a member of our legislative body of the board on the committee. So is the right. Commission a Brown Act compliant? Is it supposed to comply with the Brown Act?
Mr. Carmel?
Rose Commission? Was that the question?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, they have to comply with the Brown Act.
Okay, just checking. Thanks.
Yeah. And Director Gray?
I just had one observation about the assessment question. I think what we're talking about, the term assessment is used kind of broadly, but if we're talking about the fire assessment, for instance, anything is of general purpose for the community for a special purpose is a tax, is a parcel tax, and it requires a two-thirds vote of the population. What President Seidel is talking about is a specific benefit assessment for a particular set of properties, and I think we're talking more about the tax.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, so. And Mr. Carmel can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's what the case is.
Mr. Carmel, you're muted.
I wanted to clarify that a special assessment's normally done by mail ballot based on the specific benefits that are allocated to that property owner. Taxes go on the election ballot, but assessments are handled pursuant to Prop 218 normally by a mail ballot that's weighted based on the impact to the special benefit to that property owner. And if cumulatively the people paying the most vote for the assessment, then it passes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's slightly different than you were discussing.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Carmel. I do want to go back to Mr. Cooper because he had his hand up earlier and I had called on others first and just wanted to acknowledge Mr. Cooper.
I was at those meetings that we discussed the condition of the old drop-in ramp and all that stuff. As a matter of fact, I was at the meetings with Lady Tie-Dye and other members of the community that when there was first talk about a skate park. That was many years before that, because everything had started to rot and fall apart by the time we had that meeting that finally decided that we were going to recommend that it be removed. And I would say a couple of things about that. One was that it was on advice of Carlos, and he, and I think John was involved in that as well. You know, we're talking about the fact that it was a liability to the district. And, you know, we don't want anybody to be hurt. We didn't even know what was going to go in there at the time, actually. We thought that what would happen is that the kids would come forward and speak. When it was removed, then one of the proposals that came forward was Mr. Placentia suggested that a multi-use little soccer pitch be put in there.
Mr. Cooper, I really apologize for interrupting.
We can't talk about this. All right. Well, you know, that's the only thing I'm interested in. So the rest of this.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Niffen.
I'm having a hard time with us being an advisory board, purely advisory, and then saying that we have a budget. I mean, we can't decide what we want to do with our budget because you guys decide what you want us to do with the budget. So I find that kind of disingenuous. We did not come up with the idea of spending this year's money on the master plan. That was your guys' idea. We were told to do that. That's not to me how a budget works. So you can keep saying that the pros has got a budget, but I've been here a long time and we are told what to spend the money on. We do not come up with ideas to spend the money on, because I would buy basketball hoops and nets and skateboard ramps. That's what I would buy. And that's not what we use it for. We're going to use it for a master plan. We use it to take care of the homeless stuff. And so it's not necessarily a budget as someone would really think of a budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Niffen. Mr. Atencio.
Yes, I would, I've been on the board for a few years. Started out with the community park. We first talked about phase ones and phase twos and phase threes, and we had a lot of meetings. A lot of people came in to let us know what they had done and how it was designed. I also remember at that time, we had a CCSD board member who attended our meetings. This is when we were meeting in person, as well as the general manager. And we would have these back and forths about certain things, and we clarification every now and then. We talked to the CCSD board members. So we had that process. Also, I've never seen a $50,000 budget with pros. It's been more around $20,000 if it's that much. And oftentimes that money then disappears quickly because somebody made a decision about what we actually needed to take care of in addition to the things we were talking about. So we've always understood that the CCSD board is the board that votes and approves expenditures. And we can only suggest that certain things may be, as far as we're concerned, are necessary to be done, but that still has to go through the board to discuss whether or not they agree. So that's my comment.
Thank you, sir. So is there anything else in terms of this item? No. All right. Before we go any further, though, I do want to provide the time for public comment regarding this. And there are two attendees, I believe, who have their hands up for public comment. And I will caution in terms of public comment that we will not be discussing specifics related to either the skate park or the bathrooms, that this has to do with communication between the board and the PROS commission. And so with that, Osana, could you call upon the attendees who wish to speak?
Yes. Yes, Dr. Bettenhausen, go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. Mr. Niffen and Ms. Steidel, I really appreciate this conversation this morning. It has long been overdue. And you manifest before us this morning precisely why you need to talk about the communication between PROS and the Board of Directors. There's ambiguity in the Board of Directors as to what you really want PROS to be. There's ambiguity in PROS because you are not clear, Board of Directors, what you want PROS to be. And there's confusion about the, et cetera. It's been a wonderful conversation. I want to commend Finance Manager Duffield for posting that diagram. I think that would be very helpful to post on the CCSD website, General Manager Weigold, because it clarifies wonderfully the issue of money and the CCSD and need. I would say that you might both meet separately at some point and discuss among yourselves without members of the other body being there what you think this conversation accomplished. Did it meet needs that you understand as PROS and the Board of Directors about communication? There's a tendency for some of us in the world, including myself, to speak rather readily. And that happens also in the meetings of PROS, and that happens also in the meeting of the Board of Directors. Now, the president certainly has some prerogative with the board, but when you have a general conversation about an issue of this magnitude in Cambria, it would really assist that conversation to have a way to make more members of the conversation feel engaged readily to speak. And that's only a suggestion. I have no solution, but I raise it because it seems like this is sort of a Board of Directors of CCSD inviting little advisory PROS to come and listen. I know that PROS people have talked this morning, but the balance of participation has not been equal this morning. So please take that into account when you decide your next step in addressing a huge problem in Cambria. And that is, what do the children do? What are the adults willing to pay for the kids to do? And how do we get beyond, I thank Mr. Cooper, talking the talk, the talk? Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. Ms. Sana?
Yes, Tina Dickerson, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Asana. I am greatly confused as to why this item was brought up in a special meeting that I believed was supposed to be for the next item on the agenda. Why this suddenly came up in a special meeting within 24 hours of you guys meeting? It, to me, is very confusing, but it is also very, very concerning that we have within the structure of the board and staff, more authority being taken by staff, specifically the general manager and the president of the board. I am greatly concerned about the direction you are going. And believe me, if it continues, I will not just stop at just attending your meetings. I will take this further because you're getting way out of line. And I think what was brought up today with some of the members of the commission is that you want to just be on top of everything, but you haven't figured it out yourselves. You haven't figured out about this hybrid President Steidel that you have. So before you have a rush to judgment meeting, get your facts straight, get everything in order so that the public can participate in a rational way, because this was quite irrational and quite ambiguous, and I really resent it. And I am going to stick with my thoughts about this particular board and what is happening and with the general manager. It is not right for us at all. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dickinson. Just to clarify, The addition of this agenda item was actually discussed and decided upon at the last board meeting. So it is not something that's just happened in the last 24 hours. The construct of the 24 hours has to do with the fact that this is a special meeting and that the agenda can come forward within that time frame. But both agenda items were actually discussed and considered and decided upon by the board back at our last board meeting. Osana?
Yes, Mr. Michael Calderwood, go ahead, please.
Good morning. I'd like to echo Dr. Bettenhausen's comments about the benefit of this meeting. I think working collectively across the different organizations is helpful in highlighting both the issues that truly exist and that they exist. They're not new, they didn't just pop up. It's been an ongoing issue that needs to be addressed. I think that the conversation and the dialogue is helpful. I think maybe a little bit more uncrossing of our arms and opening our ears a little bit would help move it a little bit faster. But at the bottom of the list here, there is an issue with communication authority and all the things that you're discussing. I think is very helpful and very appropriate for this sometimes difficult conversation to take place in the forum that it is taking place. And I commend everybody for logging in and putting their input out there. And I hope it continues. And I hope that we all recognize that the goal is not to be dominant or the alpha or whatever it is. It's to solve a real problem that affects everybody on this call and everybody in the community. So good work, and thanks everybody for participating. And I hope we get some good result out of all of this.
Thank you, Mr. Calderwood. I believe that's the last of the attendees. And I do have two board members who'd like to speak, but just for your information, we still have more action on this item in terms of the actual consideration of some of the communication issues and what steps we're going to take to resolve those. Those are very specific things that we can resolve right now, and I hope will help move us forward a lot faster in the work that we need to do between ourselves. So Vice President Howell.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to, pardon me. I kind of wanted to echo a little bit of what Dr. Bettenhausen said, and I'm a little sorry that we lost Mr. Cooper here. This is my take on this. I reviewed the PROS master plan from 1994, and it is clear that more than a generation ago, there was a serious attempt to address Cambria's open space and recreation needs. And the result was this study that came out. And part of that was the establishment of the PROS Commission, which is, as we go back and look at, as we look at the old bylaws and at the and at the code, excuse me, that part of the situation appeared to be that the PROS Commission came out of that study as a way of implementing some of the things that the study brought forth. Now, it's my opinion that having attended some of the PROS meetings and just kind of watching the way things are going, and after reviewing the old plan, it's clear to me that two things. First of all, I accept the importance of parks and recreation and open space as an important feature of Cambria and a very important concern of the residents. However, a generation has passed since that study. So it seems to me that it is definitely time for we need to readdress the issue again in light of new and changed circumstances. So that's part of what I think is driving this current situation. And I'd also point out, my goodness, pardon me a minute. I'd like to point out that without casting blame on previous boards, it nevertheless, it is the case, or I get the impression, that over the last 10 years or more, that the those boards were more concerned about other concerns that they felt were of more immediate urgency. And as a result, the issue of parks and recreations and open space has been somewhat neglected. So one of the reasons why I was looking forward to this meeting, where I hope that we can, if not at this meeting, perhaps at another one. What I'd like to hear, actually, I kind of know what I think. And of course, my fellow board members, you know, I've been interacted with them, and we can discuss this issue. But what I really would like to hear more of, and which I'm not hearing yet, is from the PROS members. What would, if we're doing a reset, let's assume for a moment that the board is going to do a reset on this. How do you, the people in the trenches who have been doing this work, unpaid, may I say, but with great diligence, how do you see that reset? Or if, assuming that you would feel the need of a reset, where would you like us to go? What do you think the PROS Commission should look like in the future? Should there be one? Should a whole host of questions. And I'm not hearing that. The only thing I've heard right now on this issue is basically from Mr. Cooper, who was concerned that we're not, that the, that these immediate needs of some of the youth in the community is not being, those needs are not being addressed, as that seems to be his opinion. Mm-hmm. So that's an issue. So, but I'm not hearing anything from the rest of you guys. And the other thing that I would like to hear before the board discusses this issue in any great detail is, what does the public feel about this situation? What do they want from parks and recreation and open space? So those are issues that I think we really need, as a board, we need to be informed of before we can mm-hmm. forward on that reset, assuming that we all agree a reset is necessary.
Thank you, Vice President Howell. Those are excellent points and excellent recommendations to go forward with. And I don't think, I would suggest that what you have put forward here are probably some things that we need to set out to accomplish. I mean, even as a basic form, PROS coming back to a board after they've had conversations, and if part of that conversation is going out to the public and, having an input feature from them so that they can incorporate that in what their recommendations are to us, I think is an excellent idea. And something for PROS to take under consideration in a method to bring a recommendation back to us. Director Farmer.
Yes, thank you, President Steidel. I might be sliding a little bit off topic here, but first off, Mr. Cooper brought up the fact that his commitment, mainly with regard to being on PROS, is about the kids and taking action to provide, let's say, activities for the young people that live in our community. I don't mean to speak for Mr. Niffen, but I believe he stated in the past that his biggest passion with regard to being on PROS is about the kids in our community and the affection that he has for them and providing for their needs. I recall, since the master plan just came up, I recall attending a meeting of PROS back in September of 2010. And at that time, the PROS Commission had requested that a complete plan be put together with regard to what we were going to do with regard to the East Ranch, what was going to be placed on the East Ranch, since that was our obligation, having gotten the $500,000 from the county. Part of that, receiving those funds, was putting recreational facilities on the East Ranch. So this fellow, we paid him $35,000. A number of the members of the PROS Commission at that time, pretty much all of them ultimately became board members. They're no longer on the board, but they ultimately became board members. This fellow gave us this tremendous overview of soccer fields and softball fields and a few other items, probably including a restroom, and nothing ever happened with that. I don't even know if those plans still even exist and have been referenced at all, but I just wanted to bring that up. But what I'd also like to bring up, if you don't mind, and this has to do with when I spoke earlier in this meeting, I asked, what is it that is what happened recently that has prompted this discussion right now? And I didn't quite understand the response. That's no reflection on you, President Steidel. But I do recall last week that both Director Dean and President Steidel, you mentioned, especially prompted by Director Dean, before we have a discussion with the PROS Commission and the board, that everyone watch that meeting of the previous PROS meeting. Mm-hmm. And so I'd like to ask once again, since it was brought up, what happened at that previous PROS meeting that prompted both Director Dean and President Steidel to encourage all of us other board members to watch that meeting? And was what we saw at that meeting applicable to why we're having this discussion today in the first place? Does that make any sense, what I just said?
Absolutely, and I appreciate that clarification, Director Farmer, because your question was open-ended before. And if it was specific and driving toward what you've just verbalized, I'd be happy to address that. I'm not going to speak for Director Dean, but the reason that I had mentioned it is because of the frustration that was being expressed during that meeting. And the frustration seemed to be a lot of it in terms of communication or desires of the PROS to take certain actions and not feeling that somehow the board was responding to that. So that's what established another element of what was for the reason for the meeting today in that regard. So Director Dean?
I echo what you just said. I felt like there was a lot of frustration during that PROS meeting with the board and what the board wanted them to do. And it seemed like there needed to be a discussion on how to better the communication between mm-hmm. the board and the PROS Commission. So I just felt like there was just an intense frustration on the part of the PROS Commission and the need for a lot better communication between PROS and the board. That's pretty much my thoughts on it. It was a difficult meeting to watch because of the degree of frustration mm-hmm. that was being expressed. And yeah, we just needed to figure out how to better communicate. So, thanks.
Thank you, Director Dean. I am going to say that we have other business that we need to be doing today. And I appreciate the conversations that have gone on so far. But there is still some action that we need to take relative to this. And I understand that given the opportunity to have this conversation, it's opened a lot of floodgates in a lot of different ways. But I still would like to ask that any additional comments now be directed specifically towards communication and how we enhance communication, because I would like to continue through the rest of what is trying to be accomplished with this agenda item. So Ms. Renshaw, your hand was up first.
I'd just like to say that it was a frustrating meeting, because I think generally a lot of us or some of us felt that we're not really listened to, that we put forth recommendations. That's our job, to advise and put forth recommendations, but they never seem to be responded to. And that I think is the bottom of our frustration mm-hmm. as a group. We don't really, I mean, why are we here? We're here to advise, but our advice doesn't seem to make any difference. And that's my opinion.
Thank you, Ms. Renshaw. Director Farmer.
Thank you. I if you don't mind, I'd prefer to let Mr. Johansson make a comment since he's on PROS, and then come back to me if that's okay.
Oh, certainly. It was just in terms of order, Mr. You were all right, Mr. Johansson.
Yes, I'd just like to echo Joyce's comment. Why are we here? I asked that question some time ago, and I was we were told Carlos is an excellent person, an excellent maintenance, and not putting him down, but his comment was that we were mostly to help advise him. So, and he would carry that stuff to the board, and to a certain extent, that's where we have been. We've been sort of advised at the lower echelons. But if you want a plan that like the old one, where it encompasses a major area issue versus one that's a maintenance plan, we probably need to have more influence on the board itself or direct communication, because we are currently more in the lower echelon of arena, not a forward planning arena. So the question is, are we looking for the master plan, or are we looking for day-to-day operations? Mm-hmm. And that's one of the clarification issues it'd be nice to have come out of this with.
All right, and Dirk Gray.
Whoa.
Excuse me?
I'd like to, I was allowing Mr. Johansson to speak before I.
All right, thank you, Director Farmer.
Thank you.
Thank you for getting my attention.
That's not a problem. So I just want to clarify something here with regard to communication. And so far in the last couple of minutes, what's been brought up is the frustration that PROS is feeling with regard to communicating with the board. I think it's probably equally frustrating for them with regard to communication, not just with the board, but with the general manager. I think some of the problem has surfaced because of that. And I'm not going to request that perhaps at some point before we finally move on to the next agenda item, I'd like to get some feedback from Chair Niffen with regard to his feelings on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. If you're asking for Mr. Niffen to give feedback directly regarding the general manager and his interactions, I think that far personalizes what we're trying to accomplish here.
No. I think you kind of misunderstood. Maybe I didn't speak as clearly as I should have. I just would like, if he doesn't want to, that's fine. Everyone else, including members of the PROS Commission, has brought up communication between the board, the frustration with communication between the board and PROS. I was just saying it should be between communication between PROS and the board and the general manager. I was just adding that little nugget. And it seemed at the last meeting that it was as much Mr. Niffen who was expressing frustration as anyone else. And I was just encouraging him to use this opportunity to maybe express some of that now, since it did come up. Okay. I hope that makes
sense. Thank you, Director Farmer. Director Gray? You're muted.
Thank you, President Steidel. I don't know if we have to maybe figure out a way to move forward from this and some practical idea. I'll just suggest something, a couple of things. And I think it's communication narrowly, but whenever you start talking about communication, you're going to start talking about broader problems. And I think the one thing we might want to suggest as a near-term action is to have a board member, a director, ex officio on the commission, on the PROS Commission. Whether it be chairman or not, but somebody who's actually a link. I think the problem for the commission is they are definitely not just a hybrid, but they're sort of between eras or something like that. Because back when they were formed, we didn't have standing committees. The standing committees have been developed as a way to bring in public advice and public participation into key areas of the board's policy and business. They were formed way back, from a citizens group, essentially, and incorporated sort of awkwardly, I think, a little bit into the CCSD process. They have a budget, which they really shouldn't have a budget if they're purely advisory. But the budget's too small to enable them to do anything that they want to do. So they're very frustrated by that. Now, Mr. Johansson is saying this quite a bit about the frustration of having a budget, which is really not a budget of any meaning, Mm-hmm. And they, because they don't have a board presence on the commission, is one reason maybe that they're not listened to, because they're sort of on the outside. I mean, we get a report from the chairman at our meetings once a month, but it's not the same as having a member of the actual board of directors who is essentially a liaison. And if it's going to be a standing committee, that would be the chair actually taking recommendations from the board, or taking recommendations from the commission or the committee back to the board, and also sending stuff to the commission or the committee to be acted on. So it's not integrated into the board process. So getting back to the point, just as a simple matter, we might want to, at least near term, have a board presence of some kind on the commission, and then talk about, whether that provision on the statement of responsibilities about creating a budget and managing expenditures should be taken out, because it's making it purely advisory. Those two things, I think I would focus on at this point.
I agree. And I think that they need to be brought forward as an agenda item for discussion at the board and determination on whether to take actions in the way you've just suggested. Yeah. So I think that we need to move that to an agenda item for the board. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We really need to move this along. Everyone. And so I'd like to, Vice President Howe, do you have one final?
Well, I don't know if this will help move it along or not. So I'll just say it. And then it may be that we might wish to postpone that for another discussion. But if we are in fact going to consider putting an agenda item on our board for one of our board meetings to modify the way that the PROS Commission is composed, as for example, adding a board member as a sixth member, if possibly using the same model we use for our other three standing committees. I would like to hear the current PROS commissioners' opinions about that, because what we're really asking is to tie the PROS commission more tightly, that may be the wrong metaphor, but to as it presently exists, it's something of an independent commission. Mm-hmm. And so what we're proposing is something that is not so independent. And therefore, I think that it's very important before we actually take that up in consideration that we hear from the existing PROS members in that regard. This may not be the forum for that, but I think that is an important thing that will have to be done prior to any board action.
I agree, Vice President Howell, and that would probably be part of the process we would want to consider. It is in asking for that feedback formally from them after they've had an opportunity to have a conversation, and then the agenda item can be moved forward on the board. I do have some suggestions in hand that I would like to get to a discussion of that have to do with communication. And I would really like to move that forward before we have to look at things like extending a meeting. I think we've had an opportunity to all voice our opinions sufficiently. So I am going to move forward with that. And to that extent, wanted to move on to an outline of the processes and interactions and exchanges between the board and the PROS. In my perspective, at least, there are four common ways that happens. One is direction by the board to PROS regarding an action to be taken or request for feedback or information on a subject. The second is responses by PROS to the board regarding results of requested action or providing requested observations and information. And I have a suggestion there also that I'll come back to as a reference point. The third one is to request from the PROS to the board, requesting their consideration of a topic or requesting the board's direction on a matter. And the fourth is then the return responses from the board to PROS on their submitted requests. And what I'm suggesting is that we need to formalize this process. It needs to be done in exchange of written communications between the sources. And I think that probably some of the feelings that the board, the PROS committee has been feeling is that we don't receive their recommendations generally in any kind of written form. It ends up being a verbal report given at the board meeting, and we probably need to codify that process a little bit more so that we understand exactly what the PROS is saying and PROS understands exactly what we're saying. And the only way that that can be shared on a wide basis is communicating it across an organization with written documentation. So that's what my suggestion is. And I'm going to come back to item two here for a moment that had to do with responses by PROS to the board regarding results of requested actions or providing requested observations and information. And I'd like to give an instance here where recently there was a recommendation that came from PROS regarding the East Ranch bathroom design and the item that it was the third selection that they were making. Eventually, the board chose to go with number one. But in some feedback along the way after that process, I had heard how frustrated the members of PROS were regarding the fact that they invested so much time and energy into making their decision and they considered so many different things about it that would, you know, support spending the additional money to do that. Unfortunately, all of that information and consideration never got communicated to the board. The only thing that came to the board as a communication was our choice is item three. And there were some, you know, specific things about it, but the frustration that I'm sure that the folks on the PROS Commission felt about that it was a communication item. Now, I'm not saying that the decision would have been any different, but the frustration that was created in that process, I think could have been alleviated by having more formalized information about why the decision was made in the way that it was and the considerations that PROS took in making that recommendation. To move on in terms of the basic elements that both of us mainly did look at in terms of these interactions and exchanges are that the communications providing direction, response, or request need to be done in writing, going both directions. And if the basis of communication is to advise that it reflects a change in a previous position, that the requester provides the reason for the change in the communication. Because if something's brought to the board saying, for instance, PROS has made a change in the decision of something that had been brought forward previously and voted on by the board, the first thing that will be asked by anyone on the board if a change is being provided by the requester is why? What's behind the reason for the change? The third thing is that PROS written communications to the board are directed to the general manager, and then it's agendized as appropriate for discussion and consideration at the next available board meeting. So there may be recommendations that PROS makes on a continual basis, but if it's not brought to the board so that it can be put on an agenda for discussion, there isn't an action that's going to happen from it. And that's just a matter of process in terms of the way that the district operates as a special district, but a lot of even actions on in a more structured environment like a city or a community of some kind still needs to operate in that some way, that same way. That's the only way anything gets, the only way that we have as a board to be able to make decisions about things is that it has to come to us on an agenda. I'm suggesting also that the board's written communications to PROS are directed to the board PROS chair through the general manager, so that we've got the linkages, so everybody's sharing the information in the same way at the same time. So those are my recommendations in going forward in terms of being able to address some of the communication issues that we've been dealing with. And so I would like to get some feedback on these recommendations and about putting this more formally into the processes that we use to communicate with one another. So PROS commissioners first. Ms. Renshaw.
I think it's a very good idea, but the way that we have to do it, we have to write it out and then give it to the general manager. How do we guarantee that you'll get it? I mean, I'm just saying that.
There are several ways. One is that the general manager has an obligation to notify the president and the vice president of the board that he's received the communication from PROS and that it needs to be considered as an agenda item. And so when the agendas are being discussed and established by the president and the vice president at a meeting with the general manager and with legal, then the decision would be made to put it on the first available agenda, of course, because agendas build over time and we're looking out at agendas 2 and 3 weeks and 3 meetings ahead of us.
Okay.
Does that answer the...
Yes, that clarifies okay. it. Thank you very
okay.
much.
Okay. Mr. Niffen.
The CCSD does not provide the PROS Commission with staff to do any writing. So any writing that we do has to be done by Joyce. So we're basically saying, okay, Joyce has to do this thing, which is fine, but then it gets me back to definition again. So the first thing says is direction to PROS. But if we're advisory, how can you give me direction, right? You're telling me to do something, but I'm just advisory. Right, so I'm finding a problem with that. I can't tell staff what to do. You tell me what to do, then I'm going to tell staff, but we don't have any staff. So are you telling me on my free time I have to do this stuff? I'm like, I have a problem with that kind of. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Niffen. What I've outlined is not any different than the other standing committees that we have, finance, resources and infrastructure and policy, in terms of how they relay their recommendations to the board. In fact, it's part and parcel of the required processes that they have. So, Mr. Atencio?
Yes, this is a point. I was the person who put together the PROS projects for the next year. And I put that together and gave it to the board and a copy of that. And I think a copy did go on to the general manager. But it does take time. I mean, that's 2-4 hour job because you have to, make some sense out of it. And as Steve said, without the staff, and everything falls back on Joyce, who does all of the meeting notes and stuff. And so it's kind of a situation where we have to either have a form, maybe, or something that is official to you that we put in writing or whatever, that these are the suggestions that we're going to make to the board about a particular project. And so it's just frustrating to go through this process and not knowing what the results are from the board, either through the general manager or whatever, to let us know whether it's accepted or not accepted. You know, basically we find out things, or I do sometimes, by just reading the minutes.
All right, so is there some suggestion that you have in terms of how to make sure that that PROS hears the information back? Are you suggesting that once the general manager, you know, provides it to the president and vice president in terms of the agenda review, that the results of whether it's put on an agenda or not for discussion by the board come back to PROS so that they know that there's something in process?
That would be good.
And which is another piece, for instance, of the chair being, a director being involved as a chair of an advisory committee, because when those kinds of things happen with agendas, meetings, we take the opportunity to advise the director of that specific advisory committee that it's something that has made the agenda and give the target date for the agenda. So that kind of process is already in existence in the way that the board deals with its other advisory committees. Okay. I do not see any other PROS commissioners. So coming back to the directors then, Director Farmer.
Thank you, President Stoddard. I hope I'm not out of line here, but I see that either Crosby or Laura Swartz has had their hand up for at least 20 minutes or more. Maybe would it be possible to hear what they have to say on this issue?
Well, I had the public comment time frame, and we waited to see if there was anyone else that wanted to participate. And so we've moved on from public comment. So what I'd like to do is continue on the path that we're on, because we do need to make a decision in this regard. And I think that my suggestion is that as a board, whether it's myself or an ad hoc committee of the board, take the opportunity maybe to outline and define those suggestions made regarding the communication between PROS and the board, and that we get it set up as a process to be used between the two so that we can immediately affect the methods for communication between the two of us, which was the purpose of this agenda item initially. So feedback from the board. Okay, seeing Ms. Renshaw.
I think that would be a wonderful idea if I got something in writing. I always love to get something in writing.
Yeah.
It helps so much. So yes, I say yes to your idea.
Thank you. Director Gray. Muted.
Thank you. Can we put this in the form of a motion? Because it sounds like what we want to do is assign either you or an ad hoc committee and have them come back with a plan of a process plan.
Process plan of communication between the two.
Follows what you were laying out. Okay. I would, I don't know if we have to go through the process of getting an ad hoc committee for this, because it sounds like something that could be done by the chair or the general manager and just brought back to the board, along the lines of what the President Stoddard is saying.
Okay, so would you like to make a motion to that extent?
I'd move that we ask the President and the General Manager to come back to the board with a plan for process and communication between the PROS Commission and the board, reflecting the what President Seidel was explaining earlier in this meeting, to improve two-way communication, essentially.
Thank you. Director Dean, are you seconding or did you have a comment?
Both. I second the motion that we get it on the agenda to form an ad hoc committee to work on the communication, but I think, can it be a joint ad hoc committee between the CCSD and PROS? Because I think it'd be very valuable to have the PROS chair's input in the process of this discussion.
Unfortunately, that was not what the motion was.
Okay, that was a question to add to it. Oh. I seconded the motion, but yeah, I was just asking that question.
All right. Director Gray?
Oh, sorry. Well, the motion itself was just to get the process to assign
established
process to you, essentially, because I know the actual mechanics of it and who would be on, if there's going to be an ad hoc committee, even I think we have to maybe wait for the report to come back and see what the recommendation is.
Right.
It's not a bad idea. Just maybe we're going to go one step at a time.
Right. Vice President Howell.
Please, could you repeat the motion, please? I think I got a little confused as to what we're actually discussing here.
The motion, I think, is to simplify it, is to ask the president and general manager to come back at the next, you know, earliest convenience, next meeting, with a plan for formalizing and improving and formalizing the process of communication and action between PROS Commission and the CCSD board.
Thank you.
Did that clarify for you, sir? All right.
Yes. I'd like to offer an amendment.
If I may. All right.
Yeah.
I'd like to amend that to include as well as presently the motion refers to the president and general manager. I'd like to include the PROS chairman in that as well.
All right.
That's fine.
Director Gray, are you satisfied with that? All right. So there's a friendly amendment to add to the motion being the president, the general manager, and the chair of the PROS commission. All right. And Director Gray, anything else? Or are you just, no, your hand was, okay. All right, we have a motion first and, or a motion and a second. So Osana, roll call, please.
Yes, Director Gray, how do you vote?
Aye.
Director Gray, aye. Vice President Howell?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Howell, aye. Director Dean?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Dean, aye. And Director Farmer?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Farmer, aye. And President Seidel?
Aye.
Thank you, President Seidel, aye. Five ayes.
Thank you, Osana. So regarding agenda item 3A, recommendation for formalized documentation related to the communication between PROS and the board is passed with a vote of 5-0. Thank you all. Thank everyone for the conversations today. I think that we've taken the first steps to satisfying something to at least reduce some of the frustration that's being immediately felt by the two parties communicating with one another. But I think that there are additional forward actions that we'll need to take to try to make this as effective a relationship as possible and to satisfy the needs of all of the participants in that regard also. So thank you. At this point, we would be able to move on to agenda item 3B, which is specific to the board members themselves, the CCSD board members themselves. So I will ask that the PROS commissioners, there are two ways to go about this. If you feel that you don't want to be listening to the second agenda item, you can just remove yourself from the meeting. And if anyone else is left, Osana, do we have the ability to move them to an attendee from the panelist? Osana?
Yes, I'm moving.
Do we have the ability to move
yes, the panelists to attendees? Yes.
Yes, thank you. There are three still who, yeah.
Yes, I can't find it on the buttons. I usually have to the attendee button, but.
President, so, while she's doing that, may I escape for 2 minutes?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Well, that's an interesting term there. May I escape for a few minutes?
Yeah, we already need to know that mechanism, right, Director Farmer?
I think I did get everyone. Let me see. Yeah, we are well. One more.
All right.
All done. Thank you.
So we appear just to have the board members available to us now. So I believe Vice President Howell and Director Dean, if you're available, please. Thank you. I think Vice President Howell may have availed himself of the same escape mechanism. Thank you, Vice President Howell. All right, fine. We have all five members of the board back and available to discuss agenda item 4A. And considering it's 4:47, this may not, I don't know that is sufficient time for us to be able to address this item. If we can, well enough, good, but I hear a motion for extending by 15 minutes. That should be able to take care of it. Director Dean, do I say second? Okay, so all those in favor? Okay, thank you. So we extend to 12:15. And GM Weigold, will you address or introduce agenda item 4A, please?
Yes, President Steidel. Agenda item 4A is discussion and consideration regarding resuming in-person CCSD board, standing committee, and PROS commission regular and special meetings, and consideration of resolution to authorize remote teleconferencing meetings in accordance with newly adopted government code Section 54953E, which is part of the California new law AB 361. It's recommended that the board discuss and consider the issue of options relating to holding its board meetings remotely / virtually or in person, including consideration of adoption of a resolution pursuant to newly adopted government code section 54953E, part of AB 361, to permit continued remote teleconference meetings. And as this is a very legal oriented issue, District Council asked me to turn this over to him for further discussion.
Thank you. And Mr. Carmel.
Thank you, Madam President. AB 361 adds subsection 54953E to the Brown Act. It authorizes local agencies to continue meeting remotely without following the Brown Act's teleconferencing provisions, including the requirement that meetings be conducted in physical locations and that teleconferencing board members post agendas, provide an opportunity for the public to attend with them, and make public comment in their teleconferencing location. Meetings can be held entirely virtually during any state of emergency proclaimed by the governor pursuant to California Emergency Services Act, if either of the following applies. State or local officials have imposed recommended measures to promote social distancing, or the legislative body has already determined or is determining whether, as a result of the emergency, meeting in person would present imminent risks to the health or safety of attendees. Those are the findings that the board will consider making today by adoption of the proposed resolution. The new law includes other provisions, including that agendas for remote meetings must provide an opportunity for the members of the public to directly address the body in real time, and that if there are technical disruptions that prevent members of the public from calling in, that the legislative body suspend the meeting until the public access is restored. Lastly, the new law requires that to continue meeting remotely, the legislative body must, by resolution, make findings at least every 30 days concerning the declared emergency and its effect on meeting in person. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Carmel. All right. Do any directors have any questions for Mr. Carmel regarding AB 361? All right, seeing none, then we can move forward to a motion.
Public comment.
Oh, public comment, thank you. All right, Osana, I believe that.
Yes, Ted Key, go ahead, please.
Thank you.
Good morning, President Steidel, board, and Mr. Carmel. Well, COVID certainly has changed everything, hasn't it? Well, all I can say is this is a kind of a tough one. I like the idea of the Zoom format for many reasons. For example, this morning, when I tuned into your meeting this morning, I was walking my dog. So that's a real convenience to be able to do that. In fact, on a number of the websites, I've been trying to encourage people left and right to join these meetings because it's so convenient to do so. And you want to have as many voices as possible at these meetings, whether they agree or disagree. The point is, more voices is a good thing. Now, on the other hand, having been a high school teacher for 30 years, I like to speak in public, and I get a little bit better, feedback when I'm speaking to people in person. So, this is a real conundrum. Maybe you can work it out so that you have one Zoom meeting a month and one in person a month, or something along those orders. Seems like they both have aspects that are valuable. And but I do think you want to keep the Zoom thing going if you can, because it makes it so much easier for people to join in. So happy decision making. Bye bye.
Thank you, Mr. Key. All right. So
there's two more.
Two more. All right. Thank you. Osana?
Sure. Dr. Bettenhausen, go ahead, please.
Yes, I'll be very quick. I understand what's before you today is solely the question of what to do with an emergency declaration still underway. And that's what you're addressing. I assume that the question of whether to have Zoom meetings or in-person meetings after COVID gets cured and off planet Earth is not even before you today. So when that happens, I urge you to continue the Zoom option, but right now just deal with the emergency and you can get to lunch before 3 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. Oslana?
Tina Dickinson, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Oslana. Just very briefly, I'm heading out to a much needed yoga class. So on this issue, I mean, we are still dealing with a pretty serious issue with this Delta variant, as well as the COVID virus itself before it became a Delta, it developed into a Delta variant. So I would say for everyone's safety and health precautions that we continue with the Zoom meetings. I was in touch with the Coastal Commission. They're planning to do this through at least December. So the state agencies, you know, regional board is doing doing remote meet. A lot of the state agencies are. So I would say in this town where we have a huge amount of tourism, that we need to protect ourselves as much as possible. And so to just go ahead, as I believe is in the agenda today, the recommendation is to stay with the Zoom meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dickinson. Asana?
Yes, thank you. And Claudia, go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. I'm on the policy committee, and right now I think there's only three of us left on the policy committee, so I think it might be kind of, I don't know, inconvenient for just three people to have to drive someplace to meet since we're so small at the moment. I also want to say that I have a lot of issues with what's going on with as far as how we're operating. We're being told what to do instead of us telling you what we'd like to do or looking over the suggested policies, and I think that that needs to be considered too as you're looking at pros. And mostly I just want to say I agree with you about the remote meetings. I have asthma, so it's really harmful for me to be out in public in small quarters. So please do that. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Seeing no additional public comment, then I will bring it back to the board. And again, ask, is there any additional comment by the board? Director Gray.
Yeah. This is like more of a question again for Mr. Carmel. It sounds like from the AB 361 language, if we pass this resolution today, it has like a 30-day, it has to be renewed every month. Is that the idea? It's like renewing an emergency declaration. Mm-hmm. So basically, just for the next 30 days that we authorize ourselves to continue doing Zoom meetings.
Actually, the 30 days runs from the first meeting you hold pursuant to AB 361. But that has to continue every 30 days. And the state of emergency that the governor proclaims still has to be in effect. Mm-hmm. But with those two issues, that's correct. But it runs from the first time you hold. So if our first meeting in October is held via this mechanism, then the 30 days runs from that time.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to make a motion if
all right.
I move that the board adopt resolution 37-2021, making findings in accordance with AB 361 and government code section 54953E, authorizing remote teleconference meetings of the legislative bodies of the Cambria Community Services District.
Thank you, Director Gray. Do I see a second? And there were two that can we, and yes, Director Dean, you were next. Thank you.
I second it, but I also have a question. Do we need to do a second resolution to authorize it for standing committees and pros as well, or is this part of this resolution?
It's included in the resolution.
Yeah.
Okay, I second the motion.
Thank you. Director Farmer?
I would just like to state and kind of follow up on some of the public comment. With regard to the, let's say the crisis, that exists on planet Earth right now, anything that we can do in any small fashion to help alleviate part of the crisis that's occurring, I think is a good thing to do. And I just say that because I'm picturing everybody, say we're having a meeting at the Vets Hall and we're fortunate enough to, let's say, get 10 attendees as well as board members and staff and folks from AGP, and everybody's driving down to the Vets Hall from whatever distances. The idea of none of those vehicles being on the road and all of us from the convenience of our homes being able to attend seems to me it's healthier for us as individuals, it's healthier for the environment, and that's my opinion on that situation. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Director Gray, did you have another comment before we move All right, thank you.
My hand there.
Thank you. So Osana, let's see, we have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Sure. Director Gray, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray. Aye. Director Dean?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Dean. Aye. Director Farmer?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Aye. And Vice President Howell?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Howell. Aye. And President Steidel?
Aye.
Thank you, President Steidel. Aye. Five ayes. Thank you.
Thank you, Osana. So for agenda item 4A, resolution 37-2021, and accordance to the newly adopted government code 54953E, AB 361, is passed with the vote of 5-0.
Cool.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, completes the agenda that we had in front of us today for our special meeting. We missed our 12 o'clock by just a hair's breadth, but well, we nearly comported ourselves through it till 12. So thank you for your attendance and participation today. And thank you very much also for the interactions and discussions with the PROS Commission members today. It was a valuable conversation that we had, and I think that we at least have the start in moving forward on something. And I think that several recommendations that were made by a couple of the directors are certainly worth considering for some future agenda items. And I would request that we formulate those to whatever way that we can and work to getting them agendized and placed out for the work that we need to do, and to increase PROS feeling that they're participating in a process and what they're doing is added value, because it is, and need to make sure that we find ways that they understand that it is too. So thank you all for your time today. And I will move then to adjournment. So thank you all for being here. And thank you, Mr. Carmel and Ms. Duffield, for the support and feedback that you gave us during our review of information today. It was appreciated.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good weekend.
Everybody have a blessed weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.